We'll call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is April the 3rd. We are dealing with the operating budget and the mental health budget today, House Bill 57 and House Bill 59. At the meeting today, we have Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon, Vice Chairman Senator Bishop, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Machicki, Senator Dunleavy, and Senator Olson. So we have a full contingent of people. We are going to adopt the CS, the latest CS, have that explained. I will object for discussion and presentation on those changes from our last version. With that, do we have a motion to adopt a version M as a working document? Senator McKinnon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill Number 57, Finance 30-GH1855/M before the committee.
And I will object to for explanation. James Armstrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. James Armstrong, staff to Senator Hoffman and the Senate Finance Committee. Members, in your packet, there's six reports that outline different changes in spending levels. I can go through those, but I'd like to first go to the sixth one, which is a three-page Word document labeled number six. It's compiled by Ledge Finance, and this walks you through all the changes to the technical CS that we had done, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, and this one. So if everybody has number six, I can start.
No.
Okay.
So looks like this is the back of the page.
Got it.
Yes. Mr. Armstrong.
First changes you'll see, Department of Administration, after the public testimony, all four of those allocations within public broadcasting were restored to the governor's level. Do you want me to stop or just go for questions or one by one, or how do you?
We can just go through them, and if someone has a question, I'll stop.
Okay. Second one, Department of Corrections. This was brought to us by the commissioner. They think they're going to be able to add some statutory designated program receipts so they could maybe secure a diversion planner as a one-time increment. So they're going to work with the organization on the East Coast. This just gives them the authority to receive it if they can secure the funds. Department of Natural Resources, the other body, had reduced $250,000 in mental health MTAR money for public relations contracting. This was restored, and this CS makes it a conferenceable item when we get to conference committee. Second, adds 2 years of federal receipt authority for a hunting guide concession program as a temporary increment. Apparently, the agency is going to try to secure some BLM funding. This just gives them the authority to use the money if they do. This is Department of Public Safety. This is at the request of the subcommittee chair. It's intent language that recidivism reduction funding may be used to fund victim services programs. The next one is the first one. It just adds, there's some language section of $46,000. This increases it to $50,000. It's a technical amendment. It moves it from language to the number section at the request of Ledge Finance. This makes the budget a little bit easier in future years. Number two and three were at the request of the Mental Health Trust Authority, $150,000 of some funds for the Fetal Alcohol Syndrome campaign, and some $43,000 for increased travel and contractual services. They got some better numbers later on. Transportation. Alaska Marine Highway Vessel Operations replaces $40 million UGF with Alaska Marine Highway System funds. And then In the capital and the mental health budget, some motor fuels tax, proposed motor fuels tax were used to, in those two agencies. In the operating budget, another $66.3 million is also used of this new motor fuels tax. So we replaced the money in the mental health budget and the capital budget and placed it all into this budget. So there's about $70 million of DGF of transportation maintenance funds in here, and just thought it'd be best to combine them all into one budget. University of Alaska is one of those technical things, again, just like in revenue, it just adds money from the language section for license plates into the numbers section. Alaska Legislature. In the other body, there was a lot of discussion on per diem and how much per diem should cost. So in this version, per diem is broken up, one for the Senate, one for the other body, based on new numbers, and it also reflects per diem for past 90 days, which is not reflective in the other budget. So this simply just puts per diem for this body in one BRU, and the same for the other body. Next page, there's a new section four. There's a $16,791,000 personal services reduction. They are spread over various agencies. Four agencies were held harmless: corrections, public safety, court system, and office of the governor. And it also has, each one was based between 1% and 2.75% reduction to personal services contained within each budget. And it has language that says each commissioner or commissioner equivalent may transfer the unrestricted general funds appropriated in Section 4 between appropriations within the specified department or agency. So that's a new section. I think is contained on, you can read the agencies on page, I think it's 54. Yeah, it starts on page 54 of the CS.
And that language was to give the departments as much flexibility as possible.
That's correct, sir. Where am I at? Oh, section four, capital numbers. Oh, this is the same thing that I discussed with using transportation maintenance funds within the mental health budget. This is the only change. It was for the mental health coordinated transportation and vehicle funds. It's $1 million, and there's also some $300,000 of mental health trust receipts in it. So we just removed it all. That's the only change to House Bill 59, the mental health budget, when we get to it. On to language sections, page 65. The other body appropriated, reappropriated $17 million for the UMID district road. And this version does the same thing. Page 67. This is the, again, the language section, moving it into number section for the Department of Revenue. And same with page 67. That's the same thing with the University of Alaska license plates. It's page 67, sections 20 through A through C. It's a technical correction. When we first, if the is it Senate Bill 25? Is that the motor fuels tax? I think so. If that bill does not pass or something like it, unrestricted general funds will be used to fill in where the governor had proposed using the motor fuels increase as designated general funds, so the agency doesn't have a $70 million hole. Page 75, section 25, deposits $1,090,093,000 of UGF into public education fund. So this means K through 12 is funded at 94.3%. And this reduction totals $86,383,000. But we also, you have to remember, we also reappropriated the UMED money of $17 million. So the reduction to K-12 is 69.3. And in the governor's budget, pupil transportation funding for education was prorated. This version of the budget completely funds pupil transportation at a statutory estimate or statutory level. Page 76, section 25. There's an open-ended fiscal note within the regarding medical premiums and the Department of Public Safety's costs associated with administering the Peace Officers and Firefighter Survivor Fund, estimated to be 70.1. Normally, this would be a fiscal note appropriation, but open-ended appropriations cannot be placed in the numbers section of the operating bill. This appropriation is contingent upon a bill passing and being signed into law. Section 35E also adds contingency language related to the passage of the legislation. Moving on to page 3. Page 78, sections 26, subsection C. Appropriates $30 million from unrestricted general fund to the Marine Highway Fund in FY17. This is a supplemental appropriation. Backstop language is also included in section 35F, which reduced the appropriation to only the amount available in the FY17. The amount available from the Constitutional Budget Reserve to the general fund cannot exceed $100 million in FY17 for additional appropriations made during the 2017 session. Page 84, section 31C adds CBR borrowing and interest repayment language. Number 9, page 84, section 34B and C. This adds the retroactive effective date clauses. Page 85, section 35C adds contingent language, which I discussed earlier about the motor fuels tax, to the level the governor proposed. The next one is page 85, section 35D. Just says that if the motor fuels tax fails, then the section that I just spoke about, C, becomes effective. Number 12, page 85, section 35E is the contingency language on the Police Officers and Firefighter Survivor Fund. If it fails, then 25J is not effective. And I discussed the same thing, the backstop language regarding the $30 million of FY17 funds to the Marine Highway System. And those are the major highlights to the CS. Before going through reports 1 and 5,
Are there any questions on the changes that have been presented to the committee by James Armstrong? Seeing none, we will go to schedule number one. Mr. Armstrong.
This is a ledge finance budget structure for the Senate version of the budget. This speaks to all funds, federal, other funds, designated general funds, unrestricted general funds. If you look to column 5 is the Senate subcommittee version 3 total. And the version before you on the bottom of column 5 proposes to spend total statewide agency operations of $8,714,364,000. If you go to page 2, column 5, this also captures what the dividend will be. So the dividend is based on the number that is contained in Senate Bill 26 that passed this body last month of about $1,000. So total spending would be $9,433,321,000. So that's the all funds comparison.
So, but this dividend appropriation stays. It is not contingent upon passage of the legislation. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. I would point out this is the same language that was in the it modifies what the governor's a little bit, but it's the other body has different numbers for the for the dividend. So I can go on to number two if you'd like, Mr. Chairman.
Please, number two.
Number two just reflects unrestricted general fund spending. It's the same column in column five. So at the bottom of the page, total spending of unrestricted general funds is $4,014,498,000. This reflects a UGF reduction from the management plan and the supplemental totals that we have so far of roughly $337 million. Again, on page two, it has the what the draw is for 18 from the ERA for dividends and the $26 million for Amaretta Hess funds that are currently being contemplated to be spent in the capital budget. The total amount would be for FY18 is $4,733,455,000 of unrestricted general funds.
Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. That total you just gave is including the dividend payout, is that right? Is that approximately, if you remove the dividend payment, that's a roughly a $4 billion total budget, is that right?
Yeah, on page one, Senator Machicki, through the chair, the bottom of column five is $4,014,000,000, and then you add in the $692,957,000 for dividends in the Amaretta Hess, so that adds $718,957,000. So that's where you get your total figure for. No more questions on number two. Do you want to move on to number three? Number three is just alleged finance report version that I've already spoke to it. All the changes that are in this section were already talked about in the number six Word document that I spoke to earlier. It just goes by agency. You can note on the first one on page three, the first transaction, that's the first of the personal services reductions. And the $1,311,000 is contained within finance, centralized administrative services. That means the reduction is not just for that one because of the language that allows them to move the reductions within appropriations within the agency. But I just wanted to point out where those would be reflective in this report, number three. So those 17 pages have been discussed. I can move on to number four. And this is the supplemental portion of the changes to the committee substitute. The first one, the unexpended and unobligated balance, estimated to be $17 million from the Anchorage UMed District Northern Access, is appropriated to the Public Education Fund. That's $17 million, and then $30 million of FY17 funds is put into the Alaska Marine Highway System Fund. So those two are the two supplemental changes to the CS. There's the last one that we had talked about in the Word document number six. This was the intent language. That recidivism reduction funding appropriated in this allocation may be used to fund victim services program, and that was brought to us by the chair of the Public Safety Subcommittee. That's all I have.
Other questions of Mr. Armstrong? I will remove my objection on adopting the CS as a working document. Are there other objections? Brevities. We'll call the meeting back to order. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make sure that that the general public understands that our budget looks nothing like what a budget might look like for a smaller organization. And so I was highlighting with the co-chairman and his staff a $354 million cut in all...
In Schedule 1?
I'm sorry, I'm on Schedule 1. And I'm looking at the health and social services. And so if you just look at the column right after column 5, it shows a $354 million cut. And the Senate certainly is not cutting or would not want someone to walk away from here thinking that the Senate has cut $354 million from health and social services. And so if I could, through the chair, ask Mr. Teal to talk about why that number is large. And one of the issues is this Schedule 1 is looking at all funds, and Schedule 2 looks at undesignated general funds. And there's a reason why we separate those two and why we talk carefully about what we're referring to when we refer to all funds versus general funds, which we have some, well, we have more flexibility on use and use of those undesignated general funds. Mr. Chairman, if I could ask Mr. Teal to walk us through on Schedule 1, health and social services.
Mr. Teal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, David Teal, Director of Legislative Finance Division. And as Senator McKinnon explained, that is a large apparent cut that isn't as big in reality. That occurs because the comparison of the 18 budget goes to the FY17 appropriations, and we include both the management plan and the supplemental in 17 spending. So you can see in column 2 that there was a supplemental of $304 million. So that is added to the 17 for comparison and makes the difference between 17 and 18 much larger than you would see if you compared management plan in column 3, which is $2.7 billion, to column 5, the equivalent to management plan for 18, is 2.686, or again, almost $2.7 billion. So the cut is approximately $50 million from 18 from 17 management plan. The rest is supplementals.
Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted that on the record for all funds, and that we won't know the impact of the health and social service budget until sometime next year when we may see a supplemental. Is that accurate, Mr. Teal?
That's accurate, yes. Health and social services anticipates that some supplemental may be needed for 18, but of course we do not know what that is.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Teal, and are those federal funds or are those undesignated general funds typically?
Through the chair, you're talking on the $300 million, whether that's general funds or there's some general, but it's mostly federal funds there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And can we go to Schedule 2? There are three departments that I think need similar explanation, and that would be the 29.8% for commerce, community, and economic development, the 23% for natural resources, and particularly the Department of Transportation that shows a 57.8% reduction of $126 million. So if you can, James Armstrong, can you explain why those show up as relatively high numbers?
Through the chair, James Armstrong again. And the commerce budget shows, it looks in column 5 to column 4 is a 29.8% reduction. A lot of that was funding for tourism that has since moved into the capital budget this year. So.
And what was that number again? Three million.
2 million. Insofar as DNR, that's showing a 23.4% reduction or $18 million. I'd point members over to column 2, the Gov supplemental total. $15 million of that $18 million reduction is associated to firefighting efforts in this fiscal year. They've already expended 10. They're expected to expend a $5 million more before July 1. It's just one of those items in the budget that you can never accurately predict. And going down to Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, on the sheet it shows a 57.8% reduction. I spoke earlier about the motor fuels tax. It's a fund source switch. $70 million, all of the motor fuels tax is now combined within the operating budget, so that's $70 million of the $126 million. And another $30 million is some 17 money that we had available to us that was deposited into the Marine Highway Fund, and a reduction in 18 spending was there. So over $100 million of the $126 million is attributed to those two items. I did, in the back over the weekend, did kind of an apples-to-apples. DOT is right around 11% reduction if you don't count those two things.
Thank you, James. Are there further questions regarding the notes? Is there further objection to adopting version M as a working document? Seeing none, that is our working document. We will now proceed to amendments. We have a different format this year, and the amendment pack looks like this, and is some 30 pages. But to start off with, we have amendments by Senator Dunleavy regarding public broadcasting, and there are some that are like you have the Department of Administration 12, 14, 16, and 18 that cut those components by 5%, and then you have Department of Administration number 11, 13, 15, and 17 that reduces those departments completely. So instead of having those individually, if it would be all right with the maker, we would combine those, your motion, into two separate motions, one with 11, 13, 15, and 17.
Through the chair, just a brief question. I was not quick enough on the draw. I wanted to ask Mr. Teal just a couple questions on some baseline issues before we go into amendments. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Mr. Teal.
Mr. Teal.
Thank you. Through the chair. Thank you. Just some real basic stuff for the folks at home and constituents watching. From last year, FY17, to the Senate CS we have before us today, what was the actual reductions, real reductions, excluding supplementals? Total, just the total.
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, every comparison is different depending on whether you're doing general funds, unrestricted general funds, total funds. So, which
general funds?
Okay, I have unrestricted. I don't know if I've got one that's general funds.
Unrestricted.
Okay, we're showing a reduction here of $336 million. I'm referring to report number two now. And in the furthest right column there, you'll see at the bottom of the page a number that's negative 336.9. So the answer to your question is the 337 million, and then you said without supplementals, you would subtract the number in column 2. So 337 minus 74, 75, if you want to round.
So, through the chair, it leaves us approximately $262 million. Does that include the motor fuels tax concept?
Through the chair, it does.
Which is approximately how much?
$70 million.
Which brings us down to $192 million.
That should bring you to 212.
By 262.
Well, we're doing 337. Need a calculator here. Minus 75. Okay. 262 minus... Now about 70.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is about 192.
Correct.
Okay. Just a quick at ease.
Yes. We'll call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Mr. Teal has passed out another schedule trying to address where we are in regards to budget reductions in general fund. Mr. Teal?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look in the second page of that report, the one that's labeled Fund Group, General Funds in the upper left corner, and it probably has scribbles that I made before we copied it, which is a little unfortunate. But the issue here is...
Can you speak into the mic, please?
What we were trying to do with this report was show what the legislature did last year compared to what this legislature is doing. So in order to do that, you see in column one that we took the 17 management plan, essentially, plus the 16 supplementals that last year's legislature also made. That gives you a total in column three, which shows what the legislature did last year. It's at the very bottom line there, it's $5.4 billion. Similarly, in column four, you'll see the column labeled Senate Committee Substitute 3 total, which is the bill in front of you, plus it takes these, what we think is the closest we have to the Senate supplementals. It's basically the governor's supplemental request plus the supplementals that you've included in the operating bill.
And can you explain a supplemental? Primarily, it's expenditures that are real dollars in general funds that are being expended for that fiscal year but were originally unanticipated when the original budget was adopted.
Correct, Mr. Chairman. It's for our purposes today, your SCS column is the 18 budget and the 17 subs is where it's filling in holes or governor's needs in the 17 budget. Either way, they're both actions being taken by the legislature this year. So now, what we're trying to do is eliminate or minimize the distortion caused by crossing fiscal years. So you're counting last year's supplemental bill against last year's legislature, this year's supplemental bill counted as part of your actions today. Second, we try to remove the distortion caused by movement from UGF, unrestricted general funds, across the line to designated general funds. We do that by rolling it all in and reporting on the full general fund group. And you'll see that the comparisons then our best or low distortion comparison is the Senate's down lower right corner there, $333 million.
Thank you for that explanation. So we have to realize it's very difficult, if not impossible, to ignore supplementals. Those are dollars that were originally unanticipated expenditures in that fiscal year and were approved, and for all accounting purposes are dollars that are attributed as real expenditures to that fiscal year. With that, we will go to Senator Dunleavy regarding public broadcasting. The first one would be Senate Department of Administration 11, 13, 15, and 17. Senator Dunleavy?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move those amendments.
Yes.
Is there an objection?
No objection.
Okay. I'd like to move those amendments, and the purpose of moving those amendments is to... excuse me.
I'm not objecting that you move them. I'm objecting that they get adopted.
Okay. So I'm moving those amendments.
And I object.
Okay. And you want me to explain the amendment? Okay. So what we're trying to do with these amendments is to eliminate public broadcasting television 633.3 thousand UGF, Public radio, 2,036.6 UGF. Public broadcasting satellite infrastructure, 160 UGF. Public broadcasting commission, 46.7 UGF. And again, the purpose in this is, as a caucus, the Senate majority has agreed to reduce the budget by $300 million real dollars. This is an attempt to get us as close as possible to that reduction. And that's basically the point and the purpose of moving this amendment.
Okay, and I would object that we're not going to debate what our target was. It was a target along with structural changes and others. So during the public hearing process, we probably had more dialogue and support for these components than anything else during that public process. Do you have any additional comments, Senator Dunn?
No, that's it.
Roll call, please.
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Von Imhoff?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
One yay, six nays.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move SDOA 16, SDOA 14, SDOA 18, SDOA 12. This still pertains to the same items we just discussed. And the only difference is here, instead of a full reduction, we're asking for a 5% reduction in those four items. Once again, public broadcasting television, public broadcasting radio, public broadcasting satellite infrastructure, public broadcasting commission, for the same reasons.
And I would object again, the same explanation that we had a lot of testimony from throughout the state on how important these components are to Alaskans receiving communications about weather and many other items. Hearing none, can we call the roll, please?
Senator Von Imhoff?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
One yay, six nays.
Then we move to page 3, Senate CED number 4. Were you offering that amendment, Senator Dunleavy, or were you pulling that amendment?
Very, very quick at ease.
Very at quick. Ease. Call the meeting back to order. CED number 4 is not being offered. That brings us to CED number 5, Senator Dunleavy. No, I said no.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So CED 5 is ASME. I'd like to move this, we're moving this amendment. This amendment removes the use of matching general funds from ASME's FY18 budget, allowing ASME to use existing SDPR authority to match a federal grant. ASME projected that no GF match or UGF would be required in FY19. And there's a substantial carryover of $16,644 at FY17 year end. Again, it's being moved to try and meet our reduction target of $300 million.
And I object because both tourism and ASME have been targeted for removal from general fund matches, and we're giving them some time in order to get that accomplished. So both of them have been being treated equally, so that the tourism money is in the capital budget, and I would give them time to get their houses in order to restructure so they are not dependent in future years on general fund appropriations. Senator Dunleavy?
Again, still would like to move them to try and meet our target.
Okay. All right. Question, please.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
One yea, five nays.
We go to page 4, K through 12 support, boarding home grants. We have DOE 15 offering by Senator Olson. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move DOE 15, DOE 16, which has to do with $100,000 in general funds being requested in order for the North Slope Borough to develop its district-wide residential school program, and it would, the North Slope Borough would go ahead and pay $1 million every year to go ahead and pay for this program. The Department of Education sent an approval letter contingent on three things. First of all, the legislature approving the $100,000. Number two is they've got a maximum state funding reimbursement of 15 students. Then the actual funding of up to 15 students in accordance to the program regulations. We now have six boarding school programs in the state of Alaska under which the boarding school programs operate, plus Mount Edgecombe. As I pointed out before, the North Slope Borough will go ahead and pay the $1 million annually for the program. Although the department has lapsed the funds in this component, the department does not expect this to continue since the lapse is already largely due to implementation of new programs. With that, I ask support of this.
Thank you, Senator Olson. And it is because of the trying times that we live in. We are in the Senate trying not to expand programs until we get our fiscal house in order, when we can look at reassessing where we are regarding programs like this and others throughout the state.
With all due respect, Mr. Chairman, I put a bill in this morning. It was right across. It'll probably answer the question.
Roll call, please.
Senator Dunleavy?
No.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Von Inhoff?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
One yea, six nays.
That brings us to DOE number 17, Senator Dunleavy.
DOE 17, page 17. I wish to move.
Page 5, item 17.
I think I've got my, just a brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Senator Dunleavy?
Yes, I'd like to move 17, DOE 17.
And I would object, Senator Dunleavy.
Okay, this is through teaching and learning support, and basically what this is it's an amendment that would honor the governor's FY18 request for one-time increment of $250,000. The governor and the Department of Education are trying to have a series of meetings in which they are trying to explore how to improve performance and education for all kids in Alaska. This would be a one-time increment that would be moved laterally or out of the ACP receipts, the Student Loan Corporation receipts, just to pay for this one item of $250,000 for them to have the meetings to come up with a plan to improve education for Alaskan students.
Again, I would object. I think there were three bills that were introduced to try to address a broader spectrum of education in the state of Alaska, and this possibly could be looked at along with all of those other initiatives that the Senate is looking at. So although I think it has merit, it should be considered along with the rest of the packet. Roll call, please.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
2 yeas, 5 nays.
Number DOE 18, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move DOE 18 and 19. What this does is allows funding for two programs that are out there, has to do with early childhood programs, Best Beginnings, and Parents as Teachers. Both support parental choice as well as helps community parents and extended family provide meaningful, positive, and daily instruction to build up the young child's brain and lay the foundation for future learning. Best Beginning supports a network of 30 Imagination Library affiliates, which are able to go ahead and have children ages 0 to 5 in communities from Barrow to Metlakatla and receive an age-appropriate book each month. Children who are read to, especially before school entry, experience stronger parent-child relationship and learn valuable language and literacy skills. Parents as Teachers is an evidence-based home visiting model that has provided parent education and support to pregnant women and families with children between the ages of 0 and 5. Children exiting the Parents as Teachers program demonstrate age-appropriate skills for their next learning environment. Pre-kindergarten grants are the competitive grants that maintain pre-kindergarten services within 6 school districts as well as provide intervention services to 2 school districts. Under the Moore settlement, the state provided funds to address the educational needs of students in 40 of the chronically lowest performing schools in the state. The state was directed to invest in several strategies to support student learning, one of which was early learning programs. Despite investment over the last 4 years under the Moore settlement, the need for pre-K and early learning programs has not ended. Schools included in the Moore settlement remain some of the lowest performing in the state. Early intervention and early learning support remains vital to those children who start to need to be successful in their school years and beyond. With that, I ask for support for this amendment.
Thank you, and I object. I have supported similar programs such as these in the past. Again, the Senate has introduced 3 particular pieces of legislation that wants to look at how education is being delivered in the state of Alaska to try to improve the quality of education for all Alaskans. And I think that would be a more appropriate place to look at those issues and see what outcomes we might have in that regard. Senator Olson.
With all due respect, Mr. Chairman, the chronically lowest performing schools throughout the state of Alaska have continued to stay there, some of which are in your own school district. And so I urge this amendment to be passed. And my district as well.
I understand that, Senator Olson. Roll call, please.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
No.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
One yay, six nays.
That brings us to page 9, where we have Health and Social Services 19 by Senator Dunleavy.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move SHSS 19.
And I'll object.
Now, what this amendment does is it removes the following language from Section 1 under Department of Health and Social Services, and the language reads as, at the discretion of the Commissioner of the Department of Health and Social Services, up to $25 million may be transferred between all appropriations in the Department of Health and Social Services. And this isn't really an add or a deduction. It's just the word, it's removing wordage. The history on this is the word, this was added in 2014, at the time as a temporary measure due to challenges with the Medicaid Management Information System, MMIS, to ensure timely payments to providers. It's starting to appear that this is becoming a standard language within the budgets. The other body heard testimony on this discretionary movement of money and that it may not be actually even utilized today. And we as the appropriators, I just feel that by removing this language, we get an opportunity to revisit this every year. And if we wish to appropriate, we can do that through budgets at the time we wish to do this. So it's just a language removal so that there is not movement between the different budgets it has.
And Senator Machicki was chairing this subcommittee. So Senator Machicki, do you have comments?
I do. I don't support this change, Mr. Chairman, and I'll tell you why. This change has the greatest potential to increase the budget of any that I've seen so far. The reason we leave this is the management tool. We think of it as a supplemental budget disincentive program, if you will. I mean, just we didn't only meet our goal, which was 5%, $54 million. We exceeded it with the supplemental change, which is $87 million. The cuts went through 10 different meetings with the department. The cuts in that department have been the deepest on a dollar value and the most successful over the last 3 years because of those meetings, and we support leaving that tool in place to help them manage the cuts that we made in that budget. We believe the ability to shift around $25 million will result in a either non-existent or a much lower supplemental in FY18.
Thank you. Do you have any closing comments, Senator Dunleavy?
No.
Roll call, please.
Senator Von Impa?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
One yay, six nay.
Okay. I've been informed by Senator Dunleavy that he will not be offering DOL's amendments 1, 2, 3, and 4. So that brings us forward to page number 12. We have the DNR number 3. Senator Dunleavy.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move DNR amendment 3.
And I'll object.
So basically what this does is it moves money from the commissioner's office to help fund CAFCA, which is our citizens advisory commission that deals with interaction with the federal government on federal lands post ANILCA. And this has been funded for some years, and the feel is now that, especially with the Trump administration, that we may want to fund this. It's mostly made up of volunteers. The $185,000 would help pay for one position to help coordinate the activities, discussions, and meetings, again, with the federal government, in the hope that with this new administration that issues that Alaska has, especially over land issues, resource issues, can be discussed, and hopefully some favorable action could happen on behalf of Alaska.
And clarification, those two are combined. Your motion was DNR 3 and 4 there.
Yep. Yes.
Senator Bishop, do you have comments on this?
Briefly, we looked at this. We've been a big supporter of CAFCA over the years, but in light of, you know, where we're at in the budget times, and Senator Coghill and my other colleagues on DNR, we don't think in this political climate going forward. We mentioned the Trump administration, and it's necessary at this time going forward. That committee's pretty much been disbanded as well, so I recommend a no vote.
Roll call.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Bonnenhoff?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
One yay, six nays.
Moving on to page 13, Department of Public Safety, 18, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move DPS 18, DPS 19, DPS 20, and DPS 21.
And I'll object, Senator Olson.
Okay. What this program does is it looks like there was a bunch of money that was transferred within the Department of Public Safety from one entity to another, specifically from the VPSOs and the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault programs over to the state troopers themselves. These programs, the VPSO as well as the CDVSA programs, are critical to people in rural Alaska who have some of the highest rates of domestic violence and criminal activity in the state of Alaska, as well as the nation. CDVSA provides funding to shelters throughout the state of Alaska. The shelters provide services that include shelter and immediate safety and other services to victims of domestic violence. Victims rely on these life-saving services, and the demand for them is great for both adults as well as young children. The VPSOs are the first line of defense in many communities throughout the state of Alaska, and although there have been some difficulty recently in recruiting and retaining VPSOs, reducing the available funding will not help that. With the high risk of crime in rural Alaska, it does not make sense to provide less VPSOs. Rather, it should be more. VPSOs are essential to safety in rural communities across the state of Alaska. Troopers also play a vital role in the safety of Alaskans. They also support and have oversight over the VPSOs. And I certainly do support increasing troopers, but not at the expense of two other critically vital programs. Recently, we moved out Senate Bill 54, the crime bill. And even though the amendments to the statute contained in that bill may cost above $4 million, it is expected to provide enhanced public safety and increases the public's confidence in their safety. This is exactly how I look at these amendments. If more troopers are needed to enhance public safety, then a request should be made and put for everyone's consideration to justify the increase in the name of the increased public safety. Please don't rob Peter to pay Paul. With that, ask for support of this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Olson. This budget was chaired by Senator Machicki. Do you have a comment, Senator Machicki?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your comments, Senator Olson. And by looking at the changes we made, one might think that there is a shift of funding from CDVSA to the other agencies, but the reality of it is we have a full focus on the charge and mission of CDVSA through these changes themselves. That agency received increased funding through Senate Bill 91, and what's interesting and what's obvious is that often when, particularly in your district and the other rural districts, sometimes when a victim of domestic violence and sexual assault calls for the troopers, no one comes. And we see this as working hand-in-hand with CDVSA, which is why we also put the intent language in the bill. Two pieces of intent language. One is that we expect a comprehensive report from the troopers. VPSO right now can't hire and recruit, or can't recruit and retain. We want to see a comprehensive plan on hiring, retention, and development with VPSOs. We'd like the talented and highly performing VPSOs to get a chance to be a full AST, or trooper, if you will. We believe that'll result in stronger, both organizations being significantly stronger. We believe it will end up with an easier ease in hiring and retention, and we believe it'll deliver a better CDVSA result in those communities that are challenged for response today. So this is part of a comprehensive plan to improve the situation for those that are victims of domestic violence and sexual assault throughout the state. We know two of those positions will be going out into the regions that are most heavily affected in this area. And I think what you're going to find is that a comprehensive plan is what's lacking, and will work best for all three agencies, the VPSOs, the troopers, and the Commission on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. So I do not support the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator Olson, do you have a comment?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. It was pointed out by the previous speaker about how when you call for the troopers because of the cuts we've been having, is they don't come. All the more reason to have those people that are most vulnerable, the mothers and the children, to continue to have a place to go and have find shelter in these small communities, since the trooper can't come right away. So with that, all the more reason to see the CDVSA funds being reinstated to what they originally were.
Roll call, please.
Senator Bonham?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Donlevy?
No.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
One yay, six nays.
Moving on to page 17, we hit.
Three fifties.
We'll call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Senator Dunleavy has withdrawn DOT 15, 16, 17, and 18. That brings us to page 19, DOT number 19. Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move DOT Amendment 19.
Now I'll object.
So if this is a simple amendment, what it basically does is it replaces $28 million in UGF for the Marine Highway System with Program Receipt Authority. In essence, they can decide whether they're going to take routes offline or change their schedules and or get receipt authority to charge higher fees for the to be able to travel on the Marine Highway System. Again, the rationale behind this is trying to get us as close to the $300 million as possible, and this would be a $28 million savings in UGF.
Senator Bishop?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to inform the committee. I mean, Senator Machicki had this budget before I. He started a good pathway down on Alaska Marine Highway Operating Systems, UGF funds. Again, we took it down another, I think, 5.7 or 6% decrease in funding. And the commercial vehicle rates have been raised 20% by the department in the last year. I've got commitments to work over this on the course of the summer to further find further reductions, working smart with all stakeholders on the Alaska Marine Highway System. And I've said it on the record, and I'll say it again because we have to. Or if we don't get our costs under control, we won't have a Marine Highway System. We just can't afford it. And if James would like to add anything to my closing comments.
Mr. Armstrong?
James Armstrong. Well, in the subcommittee did take some of their Marine Highway fund of about four. And in the earlier CS, I discussed we used some FY17 money of 30. There's a corresponding $40 million reduction in 18 UGF spending. So they've probably, in consultation with Rob Carpenter from Ledge Finance, we've probably taken about two-thirds of that already. So I don't think the $28 million at this point can be, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, absorbed.
Thank you for that comment. Dunleavy, do you have any final closing comments?
No.
Roll call, please.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Von Imhoff?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
Yes.
Two yeas, five nays.
Senator Dunleavy, we have amendment R.E.D. number one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move R.E.D. amendment number one.
And I'll object.
So basically what this is it's an unallocated executive-wide branch, unallocated reduction to try and get us close to the $300 million mark for of real reductions, and it's asking for $103 million in unallocated authority to have the administration go in and earmark areas for reductions. This represents about 2% of our UGF and about a little under 1% of our total state spend. And again, the purpose of this is to try and reduce as much as possible to extend our savings.
And I will object. Many of the committee members looked at our target of $300 million. There's still work to be done, but it's been said, and the governor's office has said it, unallocated reductions are very difficult to manage. And with that, I would oppose the amendment at this time. Additional comments, Senator Dunleavy?
No.
Roll call.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Von Imhoff?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
One yay, six nays.
So that amendment fails. That brings us to page 21, LEG 10 by Senator Dunleavy. Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move LEG amendment number 10.
I'll object.
This is thank you. This is a simple amendment. It we're again looking for areas that we can reduce to try and to help the cause towards our mark. We certainly have worked at reducing the budget over the last couple of years. This is just another attempt by the legislative branch itself to pitch in and try and be part of the reduction process. And what it does is it deletes the funding for dues for various national and regional legislative organizations. And the following dues payments would be eliminated from the legislature's budget under this amendment: $107,000 for NCSL, $82,000 for CCSG, $23,000 for PENWAR, $6.9 for Pacific Fisheries, and $5,000 for Western Legislative Timber. Just a note, in the Western Legislative, the $5,000 for the Western Legislative Timber Caucus, they still have senators and representatives listed as members that haven't been in the legislature for years, but they still cash the check.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. As everyone is well aware, Ledge Council is a joint committee of the House and the Senate, and it is my understanding that this is what they brought forward, and I would oppose the amendment. Any closing comments, Senator Dunleavy?
No.
Roll call, please.
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Von Imhoff?
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
Yes.
Three yeas, four nays.
That motion fails. That brings us to page 22. We have PFD number one by Senator Dunleavy. Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move PFD amendment number one.
And I will object. But before we proceed, we'll take a little break for 5 minutes so people can use the restroom. We haven't had a break for an hour and a half. 5 minute recess. call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. We're on page 22, PDF 1. The motion was made and I objected. Can we have additional clarification on what exactly you're trying to spend here, Senator Dinleavy?
We're talking about the, Mr. Chair, we're talking about the
PDF 1, page 22. Yes.
So what we're trying to do is restore the vetoed half of the dividend that was vetoed by the governor last year. The dividend comes out of the permanent fund earnings reserve, the earnings reserve of the permanent fund. And we believe that this has been a decades-old understanding and agreement through statute with the people of Alaska. And we've had some bills, but we've decide to go this route, and we ask for the committee's support to restore that second half of the PFD.
Mr. Armstrong?
Through the chair, James Armstrong. Senator, through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, PFD number one is the fund source change from.
I got ahead of myself. Sorry about that. Mr. Chair, just a brief at ease. I can grab my paper. I got turnaround here.
Brief at ease. Come back to order, Senator Dunleavy.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to amend the amendment to offer them as one and two as one, and that would be SPFD 1 and SPFD 2.
And I'll object, Senator Dunleavy.
Sure. So basically what we're talking about here is, on the first, is changing the source of the dividend back to the ERA, not the general fund. Again, we believe that the earnings reserve is part of the permanent fund. It's functioned for decades in holding the earnings that have come out of the permanent fund, and this is where, of course, the process is in which we determine that 50% of the earnings has been going to dividends historically, and so we would like to maintain that the dividends continue to come out of the ERA and not the general fund. And then on two, we're talking about appropriating the sum of $683,234,000 from the earnings reserve. Again, we believe it's part of the permanent fund to pay the dividend that was vetoed last year by the governor. So language change and restoration of the PFD that was vetoed.
And I will maintain my objection. Anyone want to make any comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Von
Imhoff? No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
One yea, six nays.
So that amendment fails. That brings us to the last amendment on page 23. Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move SXFR1, which is a inflation proofing of the corpus of the permanent fund.
And I will object to that motion as well. I think everyone is well aware what this motion does. So roll call, please.
Senator Von Imhoff?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
Two yeas, five nays.
So, Mr. Armstrong, does that conclude the amendments?
That concludes the amendments. I just some cleanup work here.
Please, Mr. Armstrong.
In years past, we've always done this. I'd like to thank Megan Wallace from Legislative Legal. She is a trooper and helped us with the CS the last 5 years and the operating budget. Of course, Laura, Allison, Jessica, and Donnie from our Ledge Finance crew. Are they all here? Right behind you is David Teal and Lacey Sanders, and the rest of the Ledge Finance analysts who are invaluable in this exercise. This is my eighth budget, four different co-chair, and if I'm not here next year, it's been my pleasure to help you all out in this exercise.
And I would like to thank all of the chairmen of the subcommittees for all of their hard work with their giving direction to this operating budget. I know it's very difficult times that we live in. We are facing a monumental deficit. We have reduced government, but we need to continue to march down that road until we have a complete fiscal plan. We passed out Senate Bill 26 that will go a long way. We haven't seen any action yet by the other body. But it is a time in our history that people will be looking back on. We, as a state, have a lot of opportunities, a lot of potential. And even though this budget is viewed by some as going too far and others going not far enough, I believe it's the right thing to do for our state at this time, and would encourage support for this budget as it moves forward. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, thank you for you and your team for your hard work on this budget. I know that it's a huge budget, and it touches many people's lives. And as you've said over and over again, going after a nickel on the dollar, we know is extremely tough on Alaskans, but a necessary step at this time. Mr. Chairman, in the past, I've done a public disclosure with a relationship and a close economic relationship and a potential conflict of interest regarding my husband and the Construction Education Foundation that in other budgets in the past had received money from the state of Alaska through the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Mr. Chairman, I have spoken with the subcommittee chairman, and his staff has checked with Ledge Finance. Because of the tough times, there is no grant going to that organization any longer. We checked with Rolla, but I just wanted to make sure that I put that on the record, that we had double-checked that before today's process and have been told that they are not included in any allocations.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Are there any other Senate Finance members that would like to comment on this year's budget? Senator Bishop.
I'd just like to echo the comments of the chair, but also I'd like to thank all the Senate Finance Subcommittee members that served on the subcommittees, and my staff for job well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple things I'd like to point out. If I didn't process the numbers all the way through, but looking at Ledge Finance's reports for all-in total agency and statewide operations reductions, it's $333 million. If you take it just to the agency operations, it's $211 plus our other changes that get us very close to our goal. We've cut somewhere around 50%. If we were able to hold these cuts, we've cut somewhere around 50% of operating and capital. We've cut somewhere around 30% over just operating alone. And we've made substantial cuts. And the subcommittee process, there were a few amendments today. Would have liked to have supported, but we spent the time going through the subcommittee process to understand all the impacts for those of us that manage some subcommittees. Most of the subcommittees went through that process, and we evaluated the effects. We have stepped down significantly in 4 years, and we continue to do so. The Senate majority particularly believes that there's still room to come down in time, but we have to leave the agencies time to respond, and that's what we're trying to do here. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate all of your hard work and your team, as well as the members of Finance. For folks that listen to some of the amendments and think, well, why are they not supporting this or they're not supporting that? some of them you just don't have time to evaluate what the eventual impacts are going to be, and I would like to receive some of them earlier in the future so that we have the chance, and that's not a dig on anyone, but I like to carefully evaluate what changes are going to do and how they'll be managed by the department and whether or not we're asking for something realistic in the management, the limited management possibilities. And I guess what I'm saying is I support this budget. It's a lot of hard work, and it's a significant reduction, and it gets us very close to meeting our goals. By the time we're done this year, I believe we'll get there, and hopefully we get to hold these cuts with your skill at the conference table, Mr. Chairman. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Machiki. Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for indulging my amendments today. I appreciate that very much. The Senate's worked hard over the last several years to bend this curve down and reduce this budget. There's no doubt about it. And I want to thank everyone that's been involved in that process. This catastrophic fall in revenue has caused us to continue to keep trying to bend this curve down, bend this budget down, get this budget down even further. And really that was the attempt at most of the amendments today. Obviously, the amendments on the permanent fund and the dividend, that was a different issue that I've been trying to address. But going back, the Senate has worked hard. We're somewhat at a disadvantage right now, right, because coming out of the third floor is not a real desire to cut a lot, and coming out of the other body, it sounds like it's the same thing. So we're kind of up against a rock and a hard place over here in the Senate. I'll sum it up by saying, as Mr. Thiel pointed out, there's different ways of doing accounting, and I know that's caused some discussion over the past couple of years when we look at whether it's UGF, DGF, other, federal, et cetera. And my staff and I will go back, and we're going to try and make total sense of the budget we have before us. I know it's going to be moving quickly. And the only thing I want to say is that I've got numerous phone calls from constituents saying that they want the budget reduced, and that's what we've been talking about here, because their own budgets have been reduced. A lot of these folks have been laid off. A lot of their hours have been cut back. You know, this really dawned on me this past year when I was looking for a four-wheeler, and the sales were, year before, were 136 four-wheelers were sold out of this one shop, and last July it was 36. So Alaskans are feeling the pinch, and as someone said to me, you know, I hope you guys cut the budget, but cut the government's budget first before you cut our budget. And so that's what this attempt is about. I know that others are working towards that, and again, we'll go through this budget this afternoon tonight and try and understand it, and hopefully the numbers are there that this budget can be supported. But I appreciate your hard work.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. Any additional comments? If not, Senator McKinley. Motion to move the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill Number 57, Finance 30-GH1855 /M from committee with individual recommendations and attached reports.
Knowing that there may be some technical changes that legal or Ledge Affairs has to do, that would be also included in that motion. Is there discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Dunleavy.
Yes.
Senator Machiki.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
7 yeas, 0 nays.
So that piece of legislation is behind us. We will take up Reef Eddy's present. We'll call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Senator McKinnon?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just wanted to restate, and it has been said earlier, that there are multiple ways to cut the budget, and there are multiple ways to view all of the numbers that are before us. As an example, the conversation between all funds and undesignated general funds. And as a brief example, the university receipts are designated general funds, and the university has done what we've asked them to do. They are increasing tuition. That is a hardship for students, but they are trying to take direction from the state and from past legislative sessions and be responsible and slowly ramp up tuition to meet possibly an average that other students are paying for tuition in other states. That from my perspective, is a responsible way to move forward, make sure that we are testing the market, make sure that we're watching similar locations and trying to slowly make change for students in the tuition so that they and their families can respond to that growing responsibility. That said, that's why the Senate or others can concentrate on UGF versus DGF. Another thing that's happened over time, whether we wanted it or didn't want it to happen, is that we are leveraging federal dollars to the maximum benefit of the people of Alaska. And with about $113 million, we leveraged almost $1 billion into DOT and construction projects across our state. So as we argue about what the real numbers are in the budget that we are moving forward, I just wanted to point out that there are reasons that we leverage federal dollars and that there are reasons that we are focusing on undesignated general funds. As an addendum to that, this legislative body, this Senate, is trying to advance major changes in the way we do businesses in multiple departments. And so with all respect to Senator Bishop and his work in transportation now and what he hopes to achieve over a two-year cycle in Marine Highway, I just tip my hat to him. We talked about the budget amendment that I supported that was before us today, and Senator Bishop made a very good case that we should wait and allow the department to respond in increasing fares and in adjusting what they were doing. But I believe that there was additional dollars that could be removed from that department. But beyond cuts, we have to work inside of the confines of a bicameral legislature, and it was suggested earlier by Senator Dunleavy, a governor who has been fairly unwilling, at least his team, unwilling to advance conversations around reductions. And so the Senate has put out, I believe, quite a few bills that will help us achieve, I hope, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of savings over the long run. And I know that those aren't immediate savings, but Senator Dunleavy and I had a conversation, as an example, about one of the education bills that we brought forward for introduction for your consideration soon today, and that was the taking providing those in the system, seniors graduating today that qualify for the Alaska Performance Scholarship, an opportunity to phase that system out. We're spending on a very small group of people about $17 million a year. We're proposing to close that off, and so over that time we will start saving $17 million a year and then generating, we hope, areas of opportunity where districts can work through deed to actually reduce those budgets. Mr. Chairman, I don't mean to belabor the point, but that's just one bill that will have $17 million worth of reoccurring costs in respect to those in the system and the budget situation. There are many others that are out there sponsored by other individuals. In fact, we have in this body a bill that would freeze pay, I believe, for unrepresented employees. And so the administration will be coming to us with additional conversation about that. But I just wanted to point out, if folks that are involved in following this conversation, that there are multiple pieces of legislation in the Senate right now to actually create, and we hope promote, long-term savings for the state of Alaska that will continue to put pressure on reduction in the budget. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Can we have a motion to adopt version R of House Bill 59?
Mr. McKinnon? Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 59, Finance, 30-GH1856/R before the committee.
And I'll object. Mr. Armstrong?
James Armstrong, staff to Senator Hoffman. We talked about the major change was moving out the transportation maintenance funding out of this bill, replacing it with general fund mental health dollars, and that $3.75 million was moved into the operating budget.
And I will remove my objection. Are there any other objections or comments on the mental health budget? Seeing none, Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I move from committee the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill number 59, Finance, /R, with individual committee recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Seeing no objection.
Mr. Chairman, if I could amend or an addendum that legislative finance, legislative legal be given technical privileges.
Thank you for that. Is there objection to that motion? Seeing none, that bill passes from committee with individual recommendations. Please sign the committee report, and we will be adjourned.